This program is brought to you by the partners of A Rood Awakening International. Help others find truth. Support A Rood Awakening International today.
The zombie apocalypse may never come, but you'll probably drive by a traffic accident or two in your lifetime, and Bear can show you how to help. Armed with common sense equipment and smart advice, Bear Independent shows you what to do in case of an emergency and where to get the training to learn more. Because it's the end of the sixth day, the sun is set, and this is Shabbat Night Live. Well, Shabbat Shalom, Torah fans. Welcome to Shabbat Night Live with Michael Rood. You got guns and ammo? Check. Got freeze-dried food, maybe some water? Check. How about the life-saving equipment and knowledge of what to do if you come up on somebody in a traffic accident? Well, you're probably much more likely to encounter that than the end of the world scenario, and Bear Independent can help. Tonight is the final episode in this series. This one is called In Case of Emergency. Now, it's getting down to the wire as to where we are on the final Shabbat of the month of the Aviv, and what's going on with that. Please welcome my co-host, Michael Rood.
Oh, thanks, Scott. It's good to be here.
It is very good to be here. We are approaching the end of the year, the Adar, or the new moon is set to be sighted in just a few days, and we talked all last week about what that meant. And where we get a lot of this information is the chronological gospels. And yeah. I wanted to bring up this thing first, because we thought we were out of these things. These are the, well, you describe what this is, the cover of this Bible is made of.
This is fine Corinthian leather.
Corinthian leather, it's, really?
Yes.
it kind of looks like elephant ears. I heard somewhere it was elephant ears.
It's an elephant ear. And it takes a whole elephant to make this, because you got an elephant ear on the front and an elephant ear on the back.
From those Corinthian elephants, yeah. With leatherette, as we like to call it. But anyway, these are the fancy chronological gospels. We thought these were long gone years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we were cleaning out the office and we found, this is literally how it happened. This is not a story, this is what happened. We literally were clearing out a back corner and here were two boxes of these things. And we said, hey, you know what? Michael needs something to do. So you get to sign all these.
Oh, thank you.
You're most welcome. And you get the benefit of having a signed chronological gospels from Michael Rood. And
these are beautiful. These are beautiful.
They are
beautiful. They were made in South Africa.
Yes. Now, one thing to mention is that we've actually made some refinements to have the second edition. This is the first edition. So this is really, really rare. These are not even available anymore. I mean, we don't even have the ones that are not Corinthian leather anymore in the first edition. So this is a really rare treat.
Yeah, they are very, very important. Yeah.
Yes, and you're going to sign them, which makes it even more special for folks. So thank you for, I guess you got voluntold to do that by Anna Lil. So.
Yeah, I found out the hard way.
Well, we're going to pray for your writing hand so that you can get through that. But now we have something else over here too that we neglected to mention last week. We're into the week of the next love gift, the
drink.
Yeah, so this is a tumbler here. This was specially made for us. You can't get this anywhere. You can't get anywhere that says, be still and know that I am Yehovah, and all these supporting verses on a mug like this, on a, I guess it's an insulated tumbler. Nowhere else in the world. We're the only one that has it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's only good for a month. So, and after this month, it's gone. So you better get one. So that is for a love gift of $100 or more. You'll also get this matching prayer journal that goes with it that also says, be still and know that I am Yehovah. And we were just looking at the bottom of this thing. And if it looks like cork on the screen, it's not a print. It's actually cork. You can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like literal cork. It's a really thin cork. Yeah, it's interesting. So anyway, so that is a nice prayer journal to go with your tumbler.
Do you get the wine bottle with it?
Yeah, speaking of wine bottles, this month's teaching is biblical manhood. So we were just joking about what that entails at the beginning of the show.
It means drinking whiskey and just smoking cigars.
Or something like that. Sure. So this is by the same guy who's doing the teaching tonight, Bear Independent. awesome guy. We've been getting lots of great comments about him. Yeah, he's rough around the edges. And you know what? That's what makes him really lovable. Good guy. And he's really talking about, what does it mean to be a man? I mean, this day and age, everybody's forgotten what it means to be a man. So this kind of brings it down to brass tacks. And it's not just about, you know, whiskeys and cigars. It's about protecting your family. What does Yehovah ask you to do? What does it mean to be a man according to the Bible? And Bear just brings it home, and it makes so much sense, it's hard to ignore. Great teaching. The reason we put it on a love gift DVD or a Blu-ray is that so no one can take this from you, because these days the world doesn't want to hear this stuff. They might even take it down from YouTube, which is why we don't put it there, which is why we want it to have it in your hands. So if you want this in your hands and remind your young men in your house, maybe just little guys who want to know, what does it really mean to be a man? Listen to Bear. He's got some good advice. So that is the love gift teaching for this month. And also, Michael, we got this really neat thing over here. This is artwork.
The pomegranate.
The pomegranate. Now, you actually did a teaching way back in the day called Pomegranate Mysteries.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that all about, that one?
Oh, it's too long to tell.
Okay.
The tradition is there are 613 seeds in the pomegranate.
Oh, okay.
To correspond with the 613 commandments. And we prove that there's no such thing.
Okay. That was the whole purpose of tearing apart the pomegranate and counting the seeds, which I think is what that video is all about.
Yeah.
that's a great way of bringing it up.
Yeah, so far, it may only be even numbers.
Really?
Yeah, so it's impossible to be 613.
Interesting. That must be a genetically modified pomegranate or something.
Yeah, you'd have to be.
Well, and this thing here is actually, you can see the gold accents on this thing shining off there. That's actually 24 karat gold painted on there. So this is a beautiful artwork piece. So you get all of this for a love gift of $300 or more. And this is what keeps this ministry going. That's why the love gift is so important, and why we have great teachings by Bear Independent. And Michael, you've done a ton of these as well for the love gift.
Yeah.
And so this is how you support the ministry. You know, people say, well, why are you selling stuff? It's not about selling stuff. This is about supporting this ministry. And Michael, you've always said, if people want to support this ministry, I want to give something back.
Yeah, we do. We want to give something to the people.
Yeah. So this is a great idea, so thank you for doing it. And so that is this month's offering. And this week's offering is right here. Here is what Bear is gonna teach you tonight.
There's stress-based anchoring in the class so that you know how you behave in a stressful situation. But because of that, we've had a lot of people that have experienced previous traumas who have come to class and ended up having a moment of breakdown. And to see a cadre of instructors that are believers circle up the class around that person, lay hands on them, and pray over them, bro, it's beautiful. Like, you don't get that when you go to an American Red Cross class.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it really is a community of brothers and sisters that are out there bringing this information to anybody who will come to class to learn. And that's why I think it's so impactful for people. That's why we see people looking for the living water. Where is it? Because I got to get some of what you got. Well, come over here and let me tell you about Yeshua.
Well, there you have it. The zombie apocalypse may never come, but you'll probably drive by a traffic accident or two in your lifetime, and Bear can show you how to help. Armed with common sense equipment and smart advice, Bear Independent shows you what you can do in case of an emergency. Speaking of emergencies, you've got about 2 minutes before we need you back here for the Kiddush with Michael. Get on it. What does it mean to be a man? Is it what the world says? If that's true, why are there so many broken lives, broken homes, and broken spirits when men do things the world's way?
So many men will say yes when it's convenient. And then when it's time to cash in that yes, oh, it's too difficult. My wife's unhappy. I got a thing going on. No, you said you would be there.
In this month's love gift teaching, Biblical Manhood, survivalist teacher, firearms expert, emergency response instructor, entrepreneur, and servant of the Most High, Bear Independent reestablishes the simple biblical model of what Yehovah expects of men in every aspect of their lives. This teaching is not available anywhere online, but we'll give it to you as our thanks for supporting A Rood Awakening International. When you donate $50 as a love gift to this ministry in March, we'll send you Biblical Manhood with Bear Independent on DVD or Blu-ray. Donate $100 and we'll send you Biblical Manhood, plus a 40-ounce stainless steel insulated tumbler with encouraging verses from the Bible, plus a matching prayer journal. Donate $300 and we'll send you Biblical Manhood, the matching stainless steel tumbler and prayer journal, and a limited edition clay plaque, hand-painted in Israel, featuring pomegranate artwork and 24-karat gold accents. These gifts are a limited-time offer from Michael Rood to thank you for your support. Make your donation today and receive the $50 gift, the $100 gift, or the $300 gift. Thank you. Your donations ensure that important teachings like Biblical Manhood keep coming from A Rood Awakening International. Use your smartphone to scan the QR code on your screen to donate now and receive these limited-time gifts. Or call 888-766-3610. Or get your gifts online with a donation at monthlylovegift.com.
Several years ago, I was in the land of Israel and having Sabbath dinner with a group of Messianic Jews. They brought out the negelvesser, the two-handled pot, and they said this prayer in Hebrew, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by your commandments, commanding us concerning the washing of hands." I stopped, I said, this is exactly what Yeshua did not do. He said, this is takanot. This is a commandment that is added by the Pharisees, and Yeshua said, do not follow the takanot and ma'asim of the Pharisees. Don't do what they do, say you're doing it for me. Yeshua said, as often as you do this, this is what you do. You take the bread, and especially on Shabbat, we do this in remembrance of him. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. This is how Yeshua blessed the Most High, with the very blessing that Melchizedek spoke to Abraham. And Abraham saw Yeshua's day and he rejoiced because he recognized the broken body, and Yeshua said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. And then Yeshua took the cup, and he said, Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech haolam, Borei Pri Hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua said, this represents the renewed covenant in my blood. As often as you break this bread and you drink this cup and you say this prayer, you recognize that it is all about me. It is all about me, and that you'll be drinking this cup with me in my Father's kingdom. L'chaim. Shabbat shalom.
So you're prepared, are you? Okay. So you're prepared for the zombie apocalypse to start surrounding your land. You got it all, you're ready, and you've got that emergency medical kit just in case the zombie, you know, bites into your arm or something like that. How about if you fell out of a tree? How about if you fell off a ladder cleaning out your stupid gutters? Mm-hmm. You're going to need that medical kit sooner than you might think. So please welcome back to the program, TJ Morris, better known as Bear Independent.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom. So, you know, you gave us a good dose of reality in the first episode of this series. We were talking about, yeah, you've got all this equipment and you're a prepper, but, you know, stuff happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you've got a company called Refuge Medical.
Yes, sir.
And then Refuge Training.
Yes, sir.
Which I love, because not only do you teach people online about this type of stuff, but it's from a Torah believer too.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, how did you even get started in wanting to do this?
Man, so 4 years ago, I knew that I needed a good first aid kit, better than what I had. And I had piecemealed stuff together over the years, and I've been really blessed. I've had very extensive training from professionals in their field from the time I was about 16 years old, continuing till today. And so I knew a thing or two about medical stuff, and I knew what I wanted to see in a trauma first aid kit. And I couldn't find anything on the market that quite fit the bill. And so I've got a brother, Cody, at Sojourn Gear. Sojourner is S-E-W-J-O-U-R-N, ah. Sojourn Gear.
Ha ha.
He's phenomenal, another brother in the faith. And I called up Cody and I said, hey bro, I need a first aid kit. This is what I'm thinking. And I actually took the top of a pizza box and a knife and cut out and made my first prototype out of the lid of a pizza box and duct tape. This is what I wanted to look like. This is what I wanted to do. So I sent him that, and you know, we worked on it, and he sent me six of one iteration, quantity six, iteration one, of the first, what would become the Bear First Aid Kit. And it's designed to work what's called the MARCH algorithm, which, in, you know, a lot of first responders have been taught the ABCs, which is airway, breathing, circulation. And that's great if you're not bleeding. If you're bleeding, we use MARCH, which is M-A-R-C-H-E, massive bleeding, airway, respiratory, circulation, head injury, hypothermia, then everything else. Because the blood is an oxygen delivery system. It doesn't matter how many chest compressions you do if I'm bleeding. I have to close up, keep the blood inside the body. We were talking off camera about basic human physiology, right? The blood goes round and round, the air goes in and out. If I can maintain those two things, doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, I can keep you alive, be it Yah's will. And so we built iteration one of the Bear FAC, and I had six of them. I was like, these are pretty cool. And so not needing six of them, I sent one to an Air Force PJ, pararescueman, friend of mine, and one to a SF, Special Forces guy. And I was like, hey, just give me your feedback. This is what I think is a good idea. What do you think is a good idea? Well, PJs came back and I said, we really like it, but it's hard to get the inner out of the outer when it's wet. The way our kits work is you have an outer shell, like a pouch that holds the inner kit, and you can pull it out and have it in your hand where you need it. A lot of military IFACs, individual first aid kits, are stuck to your body. And that sucks. If I'm shot, stabbed, blown up, the last thing I wanna do is be fighting my first aid kit. And so the inner comes out of the outer, boom, I'm holding a purpose-built trauma kit in my hand. Well, I'd never gotten them wet before. My job is not to jump out of helicopters into the ocean professionally, but that's their job. So made a couple tweaks. They came back and said, we love it, we want 50 of them. Okay, call Cody. Hey bro, I need another 50 of those. And then SF buddy came back, he's like, we love it, we need 100 of them. Okay, hey Cody, I need another 100. And with the Bear Independent channel, I have a Patreon page, and I'd put up a poll on Patreon asking the patrons that there's biz dev nuggets in here for the people that also are business-minded, entrepreneurial. I asked the patrons, hey, what kind of swag do you want? T-shirts, hats, patches, stickers, first aid kit. Well, 334 people in 24 hours said they wanted a first aid kit. Okay. Well, I've got people who support the show. They know what we're about. They've shown they have a vested interest. They're willing to spend money with us. They're here on Patreon. I'll go ahead and make 100 of them. Called Cody, banged out 100 of them, gone that fast. Well, that was interesting. and at the time I was doing this an hour per month in my barn on property. And most people, when they think of a barn, they think of this beautiful bucolic wood and maybe some hay. No, this structure should be hit with a bulldozer. It literally doesn't have one wall. Okay, like it's a mess. And so I'm in the corner of the barn that doesn't leak when it rains, building these first aid kits. And so we hired some friends and we moved into a 500 square foot little office in a small downtown area near us. And that worked for about a year. And then we outgrew that. And then we moved to a 1,700 square foot building down the road from there. And that worked for, we made it work for a year. It just kept growing and growing. And we about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, moved into an 8,000 square foot facility. And now these kits are on all continents except for Antarctica that I know of. I mean, they could be there. I've just never, nobody sent me an email or with a picture of one, right, you know, on a glacier. Haven't seen it. With all branches of the U.S. Armed Forces electively.
Wow.
Because our kits are way better than what they're issued, which is the whole onus of starting this thing in the first place. And that we know of, our kits have saved 92 lives to date.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we ask for after-action reports. Anytime somebody uses a kit, we'll get an email with either an aid-rendered story or a life-saved story. And so in addition to unconditionally guaranteeing our product forever, like how long is forever? Forever. Hmm. Which, what does that tell you about the company? I intend to be doing this forever, right? In addition to that guarantee, if you use the components of the kit to save somebody's life, I'll replace them at no cost to you.
Hmm.
None. I just send you whatever you used. In some cases, they consume the entire kit. Here's another one. Because I want good people to have good kits. We've been blessed in the 4 years. We've filled more than 27,000 orders. And so Yah has just blessed this and allowed it to blossom and grow. And out of that, we started refuge training about 3 years ago because it felt criminally negligent to sell a first aid kit and not teach people how to use it, right?
Right, like, yeah, sure.
Especially in preparedness, people equate possession to proficiency. It doesn't work that way. I've got my M4 rifle and the effective range of 5.56, 62 grains, 500 meters, which means I can shoot 500 meters. No, you can't. Not unless you have the marksmanship fundamentals to be able to hit a target at 500 meters. So just because you possess the thing, it doesn't equate to proficiency with the thing. So we started refuge training and doing classes of no more than 20 people in locations all across North America. To date, we've trained more than 3,500 people. We stopped counting how many baptisms we've done at somewhere around 200.
Wow.
Because we just couldn't keep track of it. And it's been so cool because we are people of the book, right? We have a testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach and we keep the commands. And it's been an awesome witness to people. And they come to class and I ask, what are them tassel things on your belt? What is that? Oh, those are tzitziot. Why do you wear those? Numbers 15, verse 37. To guard, to do all the commands of Yahweh, your Elohim. Man, you really wear those? Yeah, I really wear them. Yeah, but why? Okay, well, let's go to the woman with the blood issue. And she reaches out and touches Yeshua's garment. And the King James is translated as the hem. But in the original text, it's tzitziot. She touched his tassels, which means that Messiah was wearing tassels. Which means that Messiah was remembering to do, to guard all the commands of Elohim. And 1 Peter 2:21, I'm supposed to walk the way Messiah walked. Huh. And now we're having a conversation in the midst of teaching people how to save lives. And people, there's a deep, profound spiritual impact to that. People get very emotional, especially as they go through our two-day course where people have described it as a spiritual experience, and they want to know more.
Hmm.
We've handed out more copies of the scriptures than I can count. We've baptized literally more people than we can count. We quit keeping count. It's all Yah anyway. It's all Elohim. Like, I don't know how many people. And it's just amazing. Everywhere I go, I now pack a pair of swim trunks. Because and everywhere we go, it's like we literally, as we're reconning an area to go do a training, it's like, where's the living water?
Hmm.
The living water's over here. Because it's just a matter of time before we end up over there. And so it's created an awesome opportunity to witness to people that otherwise wouldn't be exposed to the word or have been exposed to the word their whole life and felt like there was something missing. I need to know more, right? And that Your witness and your testimony is how you walk out your faith. It's what your faith is what you do. And so when people see you doing what you do, And they can get up close and personal with you and realize you're not some weirdo, you're not some heretic, you do love Messiah with everything that you've got. You're not doing this to work your way into heaven, you're doing this out of obedience to your Creator. It creates a lot of really great conversation. And so it's just been an absolute blessing to be able to travel the country and teach people the fine art of how to not die. And that's what we call it. And to put them in situations where we get to push you right up to your breaking point in scenario-based training so that you will see how you respond with that external stimulus. There's a lot of things that happen in chaos that a lot of people are very unfamiliar with. So you'll get tunnel vision. Your tunnel vision, you'll collapse, right? It's like looking through two straws. You get auditory exclusion. You can't hear what's going on around you. Cars honking, sirens, gunshots, people screaming at you. You can't hear it.
Friends of mine in the military have told me about that when he was attacked in Afghanistan.
Yep.
It just happened.
Your fine motor skills go to hell. They're gone. Right? And that's, you'll see a lot in a lot of military doctrine and SOPs, everything is built around gross motor skills. And then everything that's not gross motor skills, you drill and drill and drill and drill so that you don't have to think about it. Somebody's shooting at us, IAD, immediate action drill, right? Establish fire superiority. Oh, my mag ran dry. I'm not even thinking. I drop the mag, reload a mag, bolt goes home, keep shooting while yelling, changing, right? And it just becomes automatic. We're doing that not just with, because we train the military as well. We train law enforcement, EMS, and fire, but also on the civilian side and what's called TECC, Tactical Emergency Casualty Care. And we do that with scenario-based training where we're simulating motor vehicle accidents, where we're simulating home break-ins, mass casualty events. We're requiring people to get off the X to do CASEVAC, casualty evacuations, care under fire, and tactical field care, where they're using ARs with blank firing adapters or simmunition rounds. So there's that external stimulus of noise, the impact of the rounds hitting, and you have to render aid and make all these decisions in real time. And it's a blast, man. And a lot of people get standoffish to that. Like, I'm not a 25-year-old PT stud. Cool. I've had grandmas complete that class. And because of the size of the class, it's no more than 20 students. We can modulate the intensity for each individual student. So if you are a PT stud, congratulations. Let me introduce you to Bubba, the 100-pound sandbag. He's your new best friend. Everywhere you go, he goes with you. If your grandma, here's a tennis ball. Carry this tennis ball around. And so, and why carry a tennis ball? Well, we've all got kids, right? So when this thing happens, whatever it is, I need to maintain enough situational awareness 360 degrees around me that I don't lose my tennis ball, which could be my 4-year-old granddaughter. See what I mean? And so it's just been a beautiful thing to push people up to that breaking point without breaking them. And what's so cool, our instructors are awesome, man. Because of that stress, and it is stress, it's stress-based, there's stress-based anchoring in the class so that you know how you behave in a stressful situation. But because of that, we've had a lot of people that have experienced previous traumas who have come to class and ended up having a moment of breakdown. And to see a cadre of instructors that are believers circle up the class around that person, lay hands on them, and pray over them, bro, it's beautiful. Like, you don't get that when you go to an American Red Cross class.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it really is a community of brothers and sisters that are out there bringing this information to anybody who will come to class to learn. And that's why I think it's so impactful for people. That's why we see people looking for the living water. Where is it? Because I got to get some of what you got. Well, come over here and let me tell you about Yeshua.
So do you think, now just the practicality of this,
yes,
where you're putting people in those situations. So when what happened with Israel and the Hamas attack and all that, and then there's all the threat of, well, that's coming to America. And I remember hearing you on a podcast say, you know, talking to a guy who owned a convenience store,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to know how many yep. terror cells there are. So there's going to be something happening. Do you think most Americans are woefully unprepared for that shock and that
100%.
Situation?
100%. A lot of people think that when something happens, they'll figure it out. That's complete and total BS. I train 2 to 3 months per year and am trained by the best of the best on planet Earth. We train people the other 9 months of the year. You do not rise to your level of expectation. Doesn't happen. You fall to your level of training.
Hmm.
So whatever training you have, if it's nothing, you fall to nothing. If it's moderate training, you have moderate skills. If it's extensive training, you have extensive skills. So you do not rise to your level of expectation, you fall to your level of training. Everybody wants to be the superhero, man. Strap on their plate carrier and their AR and I'm gonna go fight evil. Yeah, you and who? Right? You guys can't even talk to each other. Now you're gonna go over here and wage warfare? Probably not gonna happen.
Right.
But there's also a dynamic of the more you know, the less you need. Everybody, if you are currently breathing air and there's blood flowing through your arteries and veins, you need a trauma first aid kit. The more you know, the more I can do without purpose-built equipment. I can stop arterial bleeding anywhere in your body with pressure points because I know where they are. But I'm not going to Google that in the middle of it. Well, you've got 90 seconds if you have a complete sever of your femoral artery. You have 90 seconds until you lose 50% of your blood volume. Once you lose 50% of your blood volume, you go into what is called irreversible hypovolemic shock, which means if right now I stop the bleeding and I put you on a stretcher and you go in an ambulance to a helicopter, flown to a level 1 trauma center where there is a surgeon waiting and we begin working on you, you have a 50-50 chance whether or not you live in 90 seconds. So why wouldn't I carry a tourniquet and know how to use it? Right?
Right.
And so having purpose-built equipment and understanding how to navigate these situations, what that looks like from a tactical threat level on down to casualty care is really important, not just with what's happening in the world, but we all drive freaking cars. We've had as many lives saved from MVAs, motor vehicle accidents, than we have on the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan and Northern Africa. So, you know, you got blood in your body? You need a tourniquet. It's as simple as that. And so there is chaos all around the world. Yeshua talked about this in Matthew 24. There will be wars and rumors of wars. And he gave us a checklist, right? Because if we're just going off of wars and rumors and wars, there's always been wars and rumors of wars, right? And famine, check. And plague and disease, check. Okay. And then they're going to deliver you up and kill you. Oh, that sounds terrible, right? And then this will be the beginning of the birth pangs. Tracking, right? Wars and rumors of wars, that's at any moment in time, my pastor likes to say, we are 3 missed meals away from chaos. And society can collapse in 3 missed meals. And we've seen it happen with Grindstone, our disaster ministry. We go into non-permissive environments all the time, austere environments all the time. And in Louisiana, we were down there a couple years ago, people were shooting each other in the face over gas cans within 24 hours. Well, that would never happen here. I beg to differ.
That wasn't even food. That was gas for a vehicle.
Gas cans. Come on, dude. You know, and so the fragility of the system is something that a lot of people turn a blind eye to because they're unwilling to contemplate just how truly bad it could get.
Hmm.
But trauma medicine skills are applicable to life in general. Again, the whole idea is the preservation of life. When we medically intervene, which, by the way, all of which is covered under the Good Samaritan Act, right? So, but what if somebody sues me? Good Sam, man. Stop the Bleed is a national protocol. You can keep somebody from bleeding to death. You can administer chest seals without having any legal liability whatsoever, just like CPR is, right? Good Samaritan Act. When we medically intervene, what we're doing is we're buying time for Yah to choose or not choose to save this life, and to elevate to a higher level of care, whoever the professionals are, EMS, fire, law enforcement.
We're going to come back to this. This is an important topic, and we need to continue.
So, yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing TJ Morris here, better known as Bear Independent. Thank you for bringing him here because your donations did it, and we are asking for further donations so that this can go to other folks into the future. That's how it works. Pay it forward. Thank you for doing it. Hey, thank you for supporting Shabbat Night Live. So before the break, we were talking about different scenarios where it's not the zombie apocalypse that is your main concern. It's the kid who's texting next to you doing 80 miles an hour in the next lane. So, Bear, what do I need in the car just commuting to the city back and forth every day?
Wow. All right. So we have half of the lives that have been saved with refuge kits have been motor vehicle accidents. There's a very common modality of injury, AKA the way people get jacked up. So what we see a lot is that there will be breaks in the femur, which are the two largest bones in your body. So they're the legs in between your hip bones and your knees, or the bones in between your hip bones and your knees. And they will break and then squirt out, compound fracture, the inside of the leg. And when they do, there's, okay, stick your hand out. Everybody at home, stick your hand out, make a fist, raise your thumb up, look at your thumb. That's the diameter of your femoral artery. Mm. About the size of a garden hose, right?
That's pretty big.
So if I cut that in half, you got about 90 seconds before you lose consciousness. We were talking about that earlier, right? And so because that's the most common modality of injury in a motor vehicle accident, and it has the highest likelihood to kill you, we wanna have a windlass tourniquet. Committee on TCCC recommended windlass tourniquet at a minimum. On my sun visors in my truck, I have one on each visor that I can grab a hold of them if needed. There are also minor orange that I have in the truck, so that if I have somebody with me, if I roll up on a wreck, I don't have to say, go get me a Cat Gen 7 tourniquet. I can say, get the orange thing off of my visor. They don't have to know what it is. Just get me the orange thing off of my visor. To that point, we have a lot of different kits at Refuge. This is called the ARC, or the Advanced Ripaway Kit. And it comes with straps here on the back, so you can mount this to the back of your headrest in your vehicle. So very common is have this mounted behind the headrest on the passenger side as the driver. And to get at it, I just pop this buckle, and there's a red handle right here. I can rip the kit off, and now I've got it in my hand where I need it. And so on the bottom here of this kit, we've got, this is a CAT, North American Rescue CAT Gen 7 tourniquet, legitimate tourniquet. There's a lot of knockoffs of these on the market. We don't use knockoffs because knockoffs will kill you. Again, we talked previously, weeks ago, about fake tourniquets. Well, I can buy one of those for $5. How much does a funeral cost? Because it's gonna break. And I break these on camera all the time at the Bear Independent Channel. So this is a Committee on TCCC windless tourniquet. And the way this works, I've got a soft tee here, again, is that there's this band right here. And this band gets constricted around the musculature and pinches the artery against the bone so that the artery cannot bleed anymore. It's like pinching off a garden hose. And every time I turn this windlass, it constricts that band further. A lot of people wonder, how tight do I actually need to make it? Well, if I can see the bleeding visually until the bleeding stops. A good rule of thumb that I tell people is one turn past bad words. Tourniquets hurt. And so when you're ready to start saying bad words, go one turn past that. And again, people don't lose limbs because of tourniquets. That myth has been debunked over and over again by the Committee on TCCC, TCC, TCCC. So if you're wondering about that, just do your own research on that or go to refugemedical.com. We've got lots of documentation there. So I want a windlass tourniquet for an arterial bleed. And then also in this kit, pop this open and I've got a purpose-built first aid kit in here that will treat 1 to 2 casualties. I've got gauze for wound packing and pressure bandages and a Sharpie and an examination pen and a set of shears. Exposing the wound is a big thing with trauma medicine. So I know that we're all into modesty. I'm a fan of modesty, but I'd rather be alive and naked than dead and modest. Cut my clothes off of me so you can see what the problem is. And so this whole kit is built out, and of course, made in America, guaranteed forever. And this is just a cool little car kit to have on the back of the headrest that I can grab, render aid to myself, other people in the vehicle, or if I roll up on the scene of an accident, I've actually got something I can do to help. And a lot of people in their after action reports will write in and say, I saw an accident, I stopped, I ran to the car, oh my gosh, it's an accident, ran back to the car, grabbed the kit, then ran back to the accident. Train yourself that if you see a wreck, before you get out of your car, grab your first aid kit and then go. If you don't need it, you don't need it. Put it back in the car, good to go. But you're saving yourself time going back and forth.
Now, something helpful for the EMTs who may arrive after you're there is something I saw you say on a video about that whole business of having a Sharpie in there. What is the Sharpie for?
So I like to tell people jokingly it's to draw mustaches on the casualty's face. But that's not actually what it's for. So arterial bleeding can cause you to lose your core body temperature very quickly. That loss of temperature is at least the hypothermia. Without getting too technical, hypothermia is one corner of what they call the lethal triad, which is blood loss, acidosis, and hypothermia. In other words, once you enter the lethal triad, it's called lethal for a reason. If I've got these three things going on at the same time, more than likely you're gonna die, which again gets back to, but are you gonna live? Where are you going, right? What is the eternal disposition of your soul? Because I'm not in charge of whether or not you get to live. Even with one of these, I'm just buying time. And I'm definitely not in charge of who you will serve and will you hear well done, good and faithful servant at the end of an age. That's between you and Yah. And so, why do I need a Sharpie, right? Well, write the gospel on somebody's forehead. But really what it is I wanna take the Sharpie and I wanna make a T on their forehead and then write the time if I can. Because that arterial bleeding is gonna cause the body temperature to drop, which means we're gonna take our Mylar blanket, our space blanket, and we're gonna lay it over the casualty to help reflect any body heat that they're losing back towards them to keep them warm. So when I cover them with a Mylar blanket, if I've administered a tourniquet to the arm or the leg, the paramedics or EMTs aren't gonna be able to see that tourniquet. And they need to know that one has been applied. So that's why the Sharpie's there to write a T on the forehead.
Ah, so a tourniquet applied at this time.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Brilliant.
So that's what that's about. You know, and the kit for a car really comes down to how do you want to carry an employee kit? Because again, we talked about basic physiology of humans, you know, air goes in and out, blood goes round and round. The basic contents of a kit, a good trauma medicine kit, are gonna be essentially the same across the different types of kits. It's how you employ them that's gonna change. You know, we also, for the ARC, we make what's called a dangler. And for the cool guy colors, Ranger green, Coyote tan, multi-cam, black, you can, the dangler goes underneath your plate carrier, your chest rig, and it's really good for guys who are on a budget where they need to have a first aid kit in their car, but they also need one for their kit. Mm. And so when they go to train, they can take it out of their car, stick it onto the dangler on their chest rig or their plate carrier. Now they've got a kit on them as well. I personally run the ARC on one of my chest rigs that I train and operate in. And I can tell you from experience, I have been beating the hell out of it for 18 months and it still works great.
Oh, wonderful.
So.
Now, when you first came to the show, you mentioned that you had, of course you had your sidearm. It just goes wherever you go. Mm-hmm. But more important than that was something in your back pocket.
Yes, that's one of these. It's called a slick kit. Here, I'll show you mine. Right here. This is a slick kit. It's just a vacuum sealed little kit. Is very thin, very compact. And what this has inside of it is a pair of chest seals, which we'll talk about in a minute. It's got an emergency trauma bandage. It's got quick clot for wound packing in your junctional areas, and it's got a set of gloves. We like to teach if it's wet and not yours, don't touch it. Hmm. Okay, so bloodborne illness, things like that. Even with somebody I know, I'm gonna take the opportunity to put gloves on. This is completely unstaged. What's in my top pocket of my shirt right here? Those are gloves.
Okay.
Because I never know where the father's gonna put me. I wanna have gloves. Bloodborne illness, bloodborne pathogens, it's a thing. If you do come in contact with blood and EMS arrives, let them know, hey, I got blood on my skin or on my face, my hands, whatever. They have decontaminants on the back of the bus, the back of the ambulance that you can scrub down, wash with, and you'll be good to go. So gloves are overlooked, but they're very important, right? So I carry this around, and the reason I carry this around, coupled with this tourniquet that's also in my pocket, is now I've got a really compact, what's called a blowout kit, gunshot wound kit, but also for any type of arterial bleeding. I can use my, this is a soft T tourniquet, Special Operations Forces tourniquet, and we sell these in the store as well. They come red, black, and tan. And I can use this to stop arterial bleeds in the extremities, arms and legs. You don't tourniquet anything but arms and legs. And the rule there is high and tight. As high as I can get it, as tight as I can get it. And so if I was gonna put this on up here, I don't wanna go over the shoulder socket because this moves. And as this moves, what that's gonna do is cause this to loosen. Mm. If this loosens, I lose the constriction on the bleeding vessel, now I'm bleeding out again, right? So what do I do in a they're called junctional areas. Shoulders, neck, pelvic girdle, back end, okay? I can't get a tourniquet on those ball joints that move. So that's where wound packing comes into play. And so in here we have, it's called combat gauze. It's a hemostatically impregnated gauze, which is a bunch of big words to mean that there is a product in here that causes the blood to clot more quickly. And if I have a wound, I'm gonna shove that gauze into the wound. I'm gonna pack that wound as tight as I can. And then I'm going to back that packed wound with direct pressure at a minimum, or this emergency trauma bandage, which is essentially a giant Band-Aid. That's what it looks like. It's like an ACE wrap that has a big gauze pad on it.
Okay.
Center the gauze pad over the wound, pull it tight as you can get it, and then that causes the pressure to hold the wound. A lot of people misunderstand how wound packing works. They think the idea is to fill the void in the flesh with the gauze so that the gauze will soak up the blood and form a clot. That's okay, it's better than bleeding to death, but the real point of wound packing is to drive as much gauze directly towards the bleeding vessel inside of there as you can, so the pressure of the gauze is pinching the bleeding vessel closed. Mm. And in something that's been, a wound that's been properly wound packed, when you pull the gauze back out of it, when you get to a higher level of care, they pull the gauze back out, what you'll see is about the first 6 inches to 12 inches of the gauze, because that's 12 foot long. The first 6 to 12 inches has blood on it. The rest of it doesn't. Because all it's doing is providing pressure to pinch the bleeding vessel closed. And so I've got, for arterial bleeds in my arms and legs, I've got a windless tourniquet for junctional areas. I've got compressed gauze or combat gauze. And I've got a trauma bandage. And then for punctures to the pleural space, holes in the box, from right here, the bottom of your neck, top of your clavicle, down to approximately your belly button, all of that whole area right there operates in a vacuum. It's a closed system. When your diaphragm pulls down, when it pulls down in that vacuum, that causes your lungs to expand. When you exhale, the diaphragm comes back up, forces you to expel CO2, carbon dioxide. If there's a hole in my chest or 360 degrees around, from the base of your neck down to approximately your belly button, when the diaphragm pulls down, when you try and inhale, the air takes the path of least resistance. So it goes in through the hole in your chest rather than in through your airway. So now your lungs aren't filling with air, the alveoli can't separate the oxygen and oxygenate the blood. So we have a problem. The problem when you have a hole in your chest, it's a very basic, easy problem to solve. We just want to cover the hole. That's all we need to do. During the Vietnam War, soldiers were taking the cellophane off of cigarette packages and just laying that over the wound and then taping it in place.
Oh.
One of the reasons we include flat duct tape in here is because it's duct tape.
I was gonna ask if it could be as simple as duct tape.
Yeah, it rules the world, okay? duct tape sticks to everything, including blood, sweat, and tears, right? And any occlusive dressing, I can take this plastic from this kit, I can take a Ziploc bag, I can take a Walmart sack or anything, I just need to cover the wound. Now, if the patient is conscious when we do this, we want to command them, don't ask them, command them, exhale, exhale, exhale. You want them to blow out as much as they can, because when they exhale, the diaphragm comes up. Okay, then I'm gonna cover the wound. Now when they inhale, the diaphragm comes back down. I've got as much of that space displaced as possible. So they're getting as much full breath as possible in and out. So really your four basic food groups of trauma medicine are gonna be tourniquets, gauze, pressure bandages, and chest seals.
Okay.
And so any kit should have that in it. A brief word to hemostatics. It used to be that QuikClot came in a powder. And there's a lot of people that maybe their prior service or law enforcement, they have experience with QuikClot powder. We don't use QuikClot powder anymore. That powder is now in the gauze. It's impregnated into the gauze. There's two reasons for that. The first is it's way easier at a higher level of care to deal with the gauze. Because if I pour powder into a wound, I have to debride every bit of flesh that powder touched. I have to get it out of there at the hospital. Mm. Well, now I can just pull the gauze out. So way easier. There was a thermogenic effect that caused a bit of burn with Gen 1 QuikClot as well. Not an issue anymore. And then number two, the second reason we're gonna use a gauze instead of a powder is if it's windy or we're in the rotor wash of a helicopter, I can't get the powder into the wound. And so people will say, if you can't afford QuikClot, use cornstarch, use cayenne powder, cayenne pepper. Yes, those things will work. But getting it back out of the wound again is gonna be a problem. Getting it into the wound in a windy situation will also be a problem. Last thing I'll say, considering our audience, early on, QuikClot was made with shellfish. And people would say, but I keep the Torah, I don't eat shellfish. What should I do with QuikClot? The answer is very simple, don't eat it. It's not food.
Use it, save your life, don't eat it.
And since then, they've changed their formulation. They now use a specific type of clay.
Yeah.
So, which
might actually be a problem too, not the clay, but the shellfish for someone who's allergic to shellfish.
Yeah, so we've had people bring that up in class as well. I can deal with the shellfish allergy after they didn't bleed to death and die.
Yeah, true enough.
Right, so. Okay.
So now, we just have a couple of minutes, so
yes, sir.
Great stuff here. We're gonna put the information on the bottom of the screen where people can get this, but for training, now you mentioned that you're going across the country training. Is there a way to learn this online?
Yes, so you can go to, not only do we have online training resources at refugemedical.com, and it's refuge, not refugee. People get that wrong all the time. Yahuwah is our refuge and our strength, okay? Refugemedical.com, we have online resources there. You can also go to the YouTube channel, Bear Independent, B-E-A-R Independent. Under our playlists, we have a trauma medicine playlist, and I teach you for free, 4-hour block of instruction of everything that we cover in our level one class at Refuge Training is available for free at Bear Independent. How to use everything that's here, indications, contraindications, when to do this, don't do that. It's all there for free.
Beautiful. Well, thank you again for joining us.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, we're not selling on the Shabbat because our store is closed. So
same.
We'll get it after the
same.
Shabbat.
Yep, we'll see you after sundown.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So that's what we want to do is just make you aware because we don't get to tell you this stuff other than on a Shabbat Night Live. So we're telling you about it. Put it in the back of your mind and go shopping after Shabbat, okay? All right, Bear, thanks.
Bless you,
much.
Brother.
Thank you very much. All right, thank you very much for joining us. What an awesome series. I hope you learned something. I have learned an immense amount of stuff, not just for zombie apocalypse, but you know, driving to work. So hope you have too. Again, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week. Until then, Shabbat Shalom.